This is Akashvani. In the program Insights, now we bring you an exclusive interview with Secretary, Ministry of Culture, Vivek Agarwal on historic return of Piprawa relics, another milestone in preserving India's cultural heritage. Interviewer is Deeksha Saxena, Akashvani correspondent.
30th July is a day which has been etched in the history. The day marked the historic return of the sacred Piprawa relics of Lord Buddha to their rightful home in India after 127 years. Prime Minister Narendra Modi welcomed the return of the relics. In a post on the social media platform X, Prime Minister said that the return illustrates the commitment of the government to preserve and protect the different aspects of our glorious culture. He also emphasized on Vikas Bhi, Virasat Bhi. To discuss more on the various initiatives of the Culture Ministry, we are joined by a very special guest today. We have with us Mr. Vivek Agarwal, Secretary, Ministry of Culture. Mr. Agarwal, welcome to Akashvani News.
Namaskar. Thank you for having me on the Akashvani.
Before we dive deep into the subject, I want you to share with us the significance of Piprawa relics.
The relics of Lord Buddha signify Lord Buddha's own presence. And these relics were found in 1898 in the new Siddharthnagar district of Uttar Pradesh, which is known as Kapilvastu, the sacred abode of Buddha. In 1898, when these relics were found, there were the bone fragments, there were the ashes of Lord Buddha, and also the offerings of the Sakya clan to which he belonged. And this is more than 2500 years old stupa. And these relics were taken away by Mr. Pepe, who was at that time the estate manager and who had done the digging to find these relics. And for 127 years, these relics remained outside India. And when the holder of these relics were going for auction in Hong Kong, we came to know about it. Government of India, then under the leadership of Honorable Prime Minister Shri Narendra Modi, took a very strong initiative, and this initiative has resulted in repatriation of these immensely priceless cultural and religious heritage of India, which we could bring it back. And this is not only a heritage of India, this is actually heritage for the entire Buddhist world across the globe. And it holds huge amount of significance, both religious as well as cultural, for the entire global community, especially the believers in Lord Buddha.
You mentioned that these relics were about to go for auction and then the government intervened. So could you also throw light on how was the return made possible to India?
So when we intervened, first we tried to go through the diplomatic channel and we approached the government of UK to intervene. But government of UK expressed its inability on legal grounds to intervene. Then we had no option but to take the things into our own hands. A legal notice was framed, and 2 days before the auction, this legal notice was served. This legal notice had the highlight was the legal aspects, but also the highlight was the ethical and the moral aspect of auctioning such a priceless relic, which has huge cultural and religious significance and which cannot be priced. So when this issue was raised, Sotheby's, just 2 hours before the auction was to start, agreed to stop the auction, and we started a negotiation with Sotheby's, the auction house, as well as the Pepe, which were holders or custodians of these relics. During these negotiations, it turned out that initially they were trying to legally put their claim, but then when the negotiations proceeded further, we had some positive response from the side of Sotheby's as well as the Pepe family, and we were insisting that these relics belong to India, and India is responsible for holding the idea and ideal of Lord Buddha. He has significance, religious and cultural significance for Indians as well as for the Buddhist community across the globe. So during these discussions, there was a lot of international awareness that got created, because once the auction got stopped, in the entire art world, this message spread. And a lot of people came to know about the stand taken by Government of India. And during these course of negotiations, a suggestion was made that if there is an Indian who steps forward and comes as an intermediary to get these relics back to India, would Government of India be willing to go for it. We agreed to take forward the negotiations. Then a tripartite negotiation took place. And I'm very happy to report that this is a very unique example of a public-private partnership where a philanthropist came up, a business house from India, which is Godrej, and Purusha Godrej offered to come and step in as part of the negotiating process and resolve the issue so that the relics come back to India. So we did an agreement. The agreement has very specific conditions. One, that the relics cannot move out of India without the consent of the government. Government has the prerogative to take these relics to various parts of the world because this is ultimately the legacy of Buddha, which has to go to reach the Buddhist world. The second condition is that Government of India reserves the right to call for these relics at any point of time for an exposition in India or abroad. The third is that they are inalienable. So once they come and they are part of this foundation cannot alienate it now. So they cannot be further transferred to anybody. And the fourth element of this agreement was the foundation will allow the Indian Museum, that's a public museum, to keep it for 5 years, a large part of the collection, and keep it in public display for common people in India to actually come and see the whole exhibition. And also this exposition will have that part which is already with the Indian Museum at Calcutta, which would combine the relics that we had already had and the relics that were taken out of the country together in one exposition, which will be open for the common people as well as for visitors from abroad who can come and visit and pay their respect to the relics of Lord Buddha. And also the arrangement is such that it's a mutually beneficial arrangement where the rights of the Godrej group are protected, but the rights of Indian citizens to have full exposure and full viewing right of these relics is also protected.
You mentioned that the Godrej group pitched in and we saw that the return was made possible jointly by your ministry and the Godrej Industries group. How important is the public-private partnership to reinvigorate the rich culture of India?
We strongly believe in Ministry of Culture under the leadership of our Honorable Prime Minister and the Culture Minister that the cultural heritage of India is a common heritage of the entire citizen population of the country. And the culture which has emerged from this land of Bharat has to be protected, conserved, preserved and projected to the entire world by everybody. It's not only the government which has the role to play, it is also every citizen of the country has to come forward to play that role. So wherever citizens are involved in managing the heritage or the monuments, or our artists, our classical vocal singers, our folk singers, a whole groups of communities which are actually repositories of this cultural wealth are stakeholders. Similarly, the corporate world is also a stakeholder. So we do believe that in all aspects of preservation, conservation and projection of India's rich cultural heritage, there is a role for all stakeholders to come together. And we welcome the role that can be played by the corporate India to be a partner. And we are looking for these partnerships in our management of monuments, in protection of our heritage, in projection of that heritage across the globe, and also for restoration and repatriation of cultural heritage that has been taken away from the land of Bharat to come back. In all these aspects, corporate India can play a very important role, and this is a unique partnership, an example that we have set out in this particular instance where such an important and priceless heritage of the country could come back and very swiftly. It was 7th of May when the auction was supposed to happen, and by 30th of July we could get the repatriation done. So this joining of forces can actually make a huge difference in the entire effort that Ministry of Culture is supposed to make or it is mandated to make for preservation and conservation of cultural heritage of the country.
Moving on, Mr. Agarwal, the father of nation, Mahatma Gandhi, rightly said that India's soul lies in its villages. To give momentum to this and to preserve and promote India's rich cultural heritage, the Ministry of Culture, your ministry, has established the National Mission on Cultural Mapping. The mission aims to document India's cultural heritage and its potential to revitalize rural economies. NMCM launched Mera Gaon Meri Dharohar portal in June 2023. I would like you to throw some light on this.
So this is another very important initiative that Ministry of Culture has taken. We have tried to map all the cultural aspects of each village and make a digital repository of each village's cultural assets, their food habits, the dress, various festivals, if there are any monuments or heritage properties in the vicinity in the village. All that have been very carefully mapped. Now the initiative is that we involve the panchayats. We have separate portal for each panchayat and villages in that panchayat. The portals remain updated for the cultural heritage. We also encourage the village panchayats to look at protection of heritage and also to maintain the unprotected monuments which would be there, and also become our ambassadors for not only projecting the cultural assets of that area but also protecting the cultural assets of that area.
When we speak about India's culture, tribal culture is something which is very integral to Bharat's soul, to India's soul. And your ministry has initiated programs to keep tribal cultures alive. For the benefit of our listeners, could you tell us more about the initiatives that are being taken by the government to protect tribal culture?
The Ministry of Culture has an institution called Anthropological Survey of India as part of the institutional framework, and we also have our zonal cultural centers spread across the country. So we look at various art forms, various life forms which are there in our tribal communities which need protection, which need projection. We also look at crafts which are prevalent in these areas, and we look at how we can improve the capacity of the rural artisans, especially living in these tribal areas, to get more designs, to get better market for the craft that they have. There is also an impetus on looking at various aspects which may impact the health and growth in those areas. So the Anthropological Survey of India does various studies which help us to write research papers and give these research papers to various institutions, especially the health institutions, to create mechanisms for improving the health and the environmental factors for these tribal communities.
I would also like you to tell us a little more about the museum grant scheme. The aim is setting up of new museums. Could you tell us more about it?
So the museum grant scheme is a scheme where we promote setting up of new museums. So we also promote upgradation of existing museums. As you have rightly pointed out, there can be various forms of institutions, including government institutions, which can seek this grant. We can give a grant from ranging from 5 crores to 15 crores as per the size and the nature of the museum. We have sanctioned a large number of museum projects. We are also looking at now standardized operating process for a museum, and also the iconic museum structures which should be there in the new museums that are coming up. So this grant scheme we are now expanding to have more and more types of museums and to cover more and more institutional frameworks, so that we can create and curate interesting visitor experiences in different aspects of projecting our cultural heritage, our life experiences, art forms, crafts, and other forms of display that can be promoted through these museums.
Lastly, since we are progressing towards the end of this episode, I would like you to throw some light on what role is Digital India playing in saving and promoting the rich culture of India.
So Digital India is one aspect which is now part of every aspect of our life and every aspect of the ministry's work. We are working on the manuscripts, where the digitization of manuscripts, the search engine, and also having the manuscripts knowledge being imparted and disseminated to common citizens and researchers is part of the initiative that is part of Digital India. We're looking at developing AI tools for translation, for looking at various scripts. We're looking at deciphering few scripts which are still to be deciphered, like the Indus Valley script, the Gilgiti script. We're also looking at improving our digital footprint and our connected portals, so that the entire information about the cultural wealth of the country is available on a click of a button to anybody sitting anywhere in the world. So there is a huge amount of work that the ministry is doing in tandem with the concept of Digital India, which will really be an important milestone for, as I said, as our basic mandate is for conservation and preservation of our cultural heritage, as well as projection and dissemination of the cultural knowledge and cultural assets to citizens of India as well as to the entire world.
Thank you so much, Mr. Agarwal, for giving us deep insights on the efforts that are being taken by the government to preserve the rich culture of India. Thank you so much for joining us for Insights tonight.
Thank you. Jai Hind.
You were listening to an exclusive interview with Secretary, Ministry of Culture, Vivek Agarwal on historic return of Piprava relics, another milestone in preserving India's cultural heritage. Interviewer was Deeksha Saxena, Akashvani correspondent. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani.